Okay, we begin here on the top of Kuf Lamed Bet, Amud Aleph, 13 lines down. Tanu Rabbanan, Hazroa Velechayayim Vakeiba Noagim Bikilayim. They have application even by mixed breeds. Ubikoi, as well as with the koi. The koi we already discussed heavily back in Otovet Beno and Kisui Adam. So we've discussed all the different possibilities as to what the meaning of koi is. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, with regards to kilayim, haba mina ezu mina rachel chayav. It comes from a mixed breed that are both behemot, then it's chayav b'matanot. That's because the pasuk says, ze ye mishpat ha-kohenim etam, meitzov chay zevach, imshor imseh. Natan ha-kohen azra v'lachayim v'akeba. So it's imshor imseh, which are behemot. But, on the other hand, if it comes mina tayish u'mina tzviyah, patur. It comes from a mixed breed that includes a chaya, then it is patur. There is an altering girsi over here. You can see on the side, he notes that the marshal changed the girsi over here to be in a koi patur. This really has to do with the gemara back on ayin tet amud bet, pei amud aleph. Because otherwise, Rav Chisda's statement back on ayin tet amud bet is basically just noting what's already in the braita, and then what's the chiddush about what he is saying. And therefore, he wants to change the girsa to koi. Although there are others who disagree with that and show that there's a chiddush in Rav Chisda, even if the girsa is the way that we have it. And that's why they've maintained the girsa in our Gemara. So then, we'll just follow what's written in the Gemara right now. It's a crossbreed between a beima and a chaya. It's patur. Mechte kaimalon, we learned back on Daf Pei Amud Aleph, to the Indian kisui adam umatanot. When it comes to kisui adam umatanot, lo mishkachat lei, this machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, ele b'tzvi habala tayasha. It's only true about a tzvi that is mating with a tayasha. The way that we have it in the Braita that we quoted, it was a tayash with a tzviyah, which is the father is a beima and the mother is a chaya. Then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're potter mimonofshach, because over there, if the mother is the governing force, then it's a chaya and there's nothing to speak about. Even if the father is contributory, he says, mix and a set doesn't help you. When it's a 50-50, you don't do anything. So he says, mimanafshav, you're patur. The chachamim, that situation, that scenario is binary. Because if the mother is the only thing that matters, then you are patur. If we're choshin zera'av, then you're chayav 50%. But in that case, it's not mimanafshav, you're chayav 50%. One aspect is patur, the other aspect is 50% chayav. That's again binary. So even the Chachamim will agree in that scenario that you are patur. So in the case of Tayash and Tzviyah, everybody agrees you are patur. Rabbi Eliezer Mimonavshach, the Chachamim because of Motzi Mechaber Olavaraya. The question only really arises when you have a Tzvi, who's the father, and the mother is a Tayasha. That's where we have this Machloket. So the mother is a Behima, the father is a Chaya. Uben Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Rabbanan, Misap Kiluhu. There is a safek, yichoshin zera'av, or ain't choshin. Do we worry about the father's contribution here or not? Ubiseh, v'afilu mixatseh kamiflege. And the machloket is about whether having a partial behema as a parent is influential over you. Mar savar seh, v'afilu mixatseh. The chachamim believe that even if you are a partial seh, that's enough to make you chayav. Mar savar seh, v'afilu mixatseh, lo amrinan. Rabbi Eliezer believes that if you have set, mixat set doesn't help you out. So now, bishlamo the Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the patar, where we said in the bright, he says, you batur mena matanot, kasavar se velo mixat set, he holds that the problem here is se velo mixat set, and mimonav shach, you are patur. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you have now a situation in which the mother is a behema. So the mother is clearly influential over here. The father is a tzvi, which is a chaya. So now, in the situation in which the father is meaningless, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would be chayav in the matanot. In the case where the father is influential, then you have mixat tzeh. It's only half breed from a behema. According to him, a half breed from a behema does not give matanot. So for Rabbi Eliezer, it's binary. You're either a chayav totally, or you're patur totally. You're chayav totally if we ignore the father. You are patur totally if we worry about the father. If you have the father dead, then you're a mixed breed between a chaya and beima. According to him, that makes you patur. If you don't worry about the father, then you're 100% beima, because it's the mother is a tayasha here, and you'd be chayav. So it's binary. It's either chayav and patur, motzi mechavero, alav araya, and therefore you are patur from matanot. Elo rabona, nehi nami de kasavre se, vafilu mixat se, even if they hold se, umixat se, palgalishko, he should only take a half, vidach palgal, and the other half, lemele, aiti raya. Bring me a proof, dein choshishin zera'av, mishakul, that we don't worry about the father, and then you can take the other half. So, again, for Rabbi Eliezer, it's binary, and therefore, motzimi chavera lavaraya. The chachamim, you have two possible outcomes. The possible outcome where it's the mother is the only thing that matters, she's a beima. In that situation, you'd be chayav for 100% of matanot and for the kisui adam. In a situation where we're choshishin the zera av, we worry about the father's contribution, then the chachamim say we hold a mixatzeh, which means that if you are a mixed breed, the percentage of breed that you are is influential in what you give. So if the father counts over here, you would still have to give 50% of the matanot because of the fact that you are mixatzeh. Your mother is a beima. Father is a chayav, so that doesn't make you patur. The gamre makes you 50% patur, 50% chayav. So with regards to kisui adam, you don't have much choice. You have to do the kisui adam. But with regards to matanot, there's a monetary obligation here. You could split it in half. It's 50-50. So according to the chachamim, the first 50%, you are chayav no matter what. Whether you say, we worry about the father, we don't worry about the father, you're going to be chayav that 50%. Because if we don't worry about the father, you're chayav 100%. We worry about the father, you're chayav 50%. So no matter what the outcome is, that 50% belongs to the Kohen and you have to give it. The second 50%, that's where you have the safek. If the mother's only thing that matters, you're chayav. If the father matters, then you are patur. That part you can say to the Kohen, bring me a raya that ain't choshin lezerav, and I'll give you your other 50%. But that means when the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and say you are chayav, they don't mean you're chayav 100%, they mean you're chayav 50%. So why doesn't the Braita indicate that the Chachamim, when they say chayav, they mean 50%, not 100%? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna bar Chiya my chayav, nami de kamar. When it says chayav, it means chayav b'chatzi matanot. Didn't mean a full 100%, it meant chatzi matanot. That's really because the Braita never actually uses the word chayav. You look at the Braita carefully, it says, Tan Rabbanan, the word chayav is not used there, it just says noagim. They are applicable to these situations. Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, chayav b'matanot when it's an eiz and rachel, patur min matanot when it's a tayash and a tzvia, which we then indicated is not the exact scenario where they argue. They really argue in the case where it's a tzvi and a tayasha. And in that scenario, you will be chayav according to the chachamim, chatzi matanot. But there, the Braita never explicitly says about the Chachamim's position, chayav. It says, noagim. That's applicable. So applicable means, to what extent is it applicable? To 50%. It's not chayav 100%, it only means 50%. So in the case of tayash and tzviya, everybody agrees you are patur. Rabbi Eliezer mimonavshach, the Chachamim because of motzi mechaber labaraya. The question only really arises when you have a tzvi, who's the father, and the mother is a tayasha. That's where we have this machloket. Rabbi Lezer again says, it's binary. Therefore, you're patur, because I'm not seeing me chavera la baraya. Come and say, mimonavshach, you're chayav 50%, that you have to give. The other 50% is up for grabs. I'm not seeing me chavera la baraya. That's what the Gemara says. When the Chachamim meant that you're chayav, noagim, it meant chayav chatzi matanot. Meitiv Rabbi Zera. Koi, yesh po drachim shavin lebeima, yesh po drachim shavin lechayav. The koi has properties like a beima, properties like a chaya, yesh bo drachim shavim lechaya ulbeima, and a properties that are like both of them. Ketzad, what are the manifestations of that? Chelbo asur kechelev beima. The chelev is asur like it's a beima. Vidamo chayav lechasot kedam chaya. And you have to cover the blood like that of a chaya. So it's the chumrot of both sides. The chumrah of a beima, that the chelev is asur, and the chumra ve'chaya, that you have to cover the blood. Drachim shavim lebeima lechaya. It's also similar to a beima lechaya. Shedamo vigido asurim kebeima v'chaya. The thing that's common between a chaya and beima is that the blood is asur in both of them. And so is the gid anashim. And so therefore it'll apply to a koi, because it applies both to Beima and a Chaya. The last thing is Chayav Bizroa Velechayim Vakeba. You are Chayav in these Matnot Kuna. This really should have been subsumed under the category of Beima. We're treating it like a Beima. Only a Shor and Seh are Chayav in these Matanot. A Chaya is not Chayav in these Matanot. So this really should be included in the category of Beima. The Baal Tosafot would say the reason it wasn't is because the Mishnah wanted to put together Dam and Chalev. Because Chalev and Dam always come as a package. In the Torah, they're mentioned many times together, either in the same Pasuk or sequential Pasukim, and therefore, over here in the Mishnah, you also put it together. For that reason, they bumped this down to the end of the Mishnah, even though it should have been in the same category as Beima. So Dome the Beima, that Chalev is Asur, and that it's Chayav and Matanot. That's what it should have said in the Mishnah. But it left Matanot to the end because of the fact that it wanted to get Chelev and Dam together. And then Rabbi Eliezer Poter. Rabbi Eliezer says you're Patur when it comes to a koi. Vimita, once again here, if the machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is only in a situation in which you have a Tzvi and a Tayasha, then their machloket should say Chachamim are Mechayev, Chatzi Matanot, and Rabbi Eliezer is Poter. That's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Chachamim omrim Chayav. Again, it should have said half the matanot. Now, this is where Tosafot makes his comment. How come the Gemara here doesn't just know the answer from the previous Gemara? The previous Gemara said when it said chayav, it meant half. The difference is that I pointed out to you, the previous Braita said nohagim. It never said the word chayav. Over there, they were more willing to say that nohagim means chayav chatzi matanot, not the whole thing. Over here, it says chayav. If you already wrote chayav, it should tell you what you are chayav. Not just chayav, which makes it sound like 100%, should have said chayav chatzi matanot. Therefore, the Gemara is asking the same question again. Imita chayav chatzi matanot mi bayile. It should have mentioned specifically the chatzi matanot. So the Gemara answers, Aidi ditana chelbo v'damo, dolo matni chetzi chetzi. When it comes to chelev and dam, you can't do 50%, because it's binary. Either the chelev is asur, or the chelev is mutar. If you're going to be choshesh for Beima, 100% of the chelev you have to say is asur. If you're choshesh for chaya, 100% of the blood needs kizui adam. You're not going to do half the blood and not half the blood, because it's isur. Isur is either 100% asur or 100% mutar. Shemhachi lo katani chatzi. Therefore, by the matnot, which are a monetary obligation, there you could have split it in half. So it should have written chatzi and okanami. But it wrote chayav to match with the chayav of the dam and the chelev in the resha, which are 100%. It also said chayav 100% by the matanot, but not really that you are chayav 100%. You're really only chayav 50%. But to use a parallel language to the resha, where there is no 50-50, it's 100%. In the seifa, it said 100%, but didn't mean 100%. But the language is just laid out in such a manner that it is parallel in structure. Kiata Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Koi l'Rabbanan chayav b'kulu matanot. So here we have a dissenting opinion. Until now we've assumed that the koi and the kilayim are only chayav in chetzi matanot according to the Chachamim. Here Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, a koi, according to the Rabbanan, you're chayav in kulu matanot. 100% of the matanot. The Tanya. So there, Riboy comes from the Pasuk itself. Shor. The Pasuk says that a shor is chayav. Matam alomar im shor. What's the extra word im, therefore? There are both at the kilayim. Se. Matam alomar im se. Why is there an additional im in the Pasuk? There are both at the koi. According to this, there's a dindo right thought that includes both kilayim and koi. As the Pasuk says, Zeyem ishpat ha-kohanim, mitzvah zevach im shor im se. Im is extraneous in both cases. That brings you a riboy of kilayim and of koi. Now, with regards to kilayim, you can understand why the Torah would address kilayim, where you have a mixed breed. Koi, where we have a suffix about it, we've said before, the Torah doesn't address sfeikot. The Torah knows what things are, and it only addresses vadai. So how would the Torah include a koi if a koi is a suffix? A suffix is an issue for us, because we don't know what to do. But Hashem and the Torah know what to do. They're not going to address the case of Safek. So what you have to suggest here is Rabbi Yochanan believes that the koi is a birya bifnei atzma. It's its own creation. And therefore the Torah is addressing koi in that classification as its own behema or birya. That means that Rabbi Yochanan does not fundamentally disagree with what we said before. Had it been a mixed breed between a Tzvi and a Tayashah, he might agree that the Chachamim say you only have to give Chatzi Matanot. He just says that Koi is not that case. Koi is the case of a Birya Bifnei Atzma. And therefore, in that case, when you say Chayav, you're Chayav for all the Matanot. Now, by Kil'ayim, he says that the Chachamim say you are Chayav. Over there, it would seem that he also thinks that by Kil'ayim, you're Chayav 100% as well. So that means that he disagrees on the other point, which is now that a Tzvi and a Tayashah, when you're Chayav there, you're not Chayav just Chatzi Matanot, you're Chayav Kol HaMatanot, which means that either you believe that Ein Choshishin Zera'av, that the Zera'av is meaningless, and therefore you have to give 100%, or he believes that this Riboy says that even when we're Choshishin Zera'av, the Torah still says that once you have any semblance of Be'ema, you are Chayav to give 100% of the Matanot. So now, Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Hai Im Lomali. Wait, Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks you're Patur by Kilayim and Patur by Koi, what does he do with the word Im? He needs it to divide up. You would have thought possibly you'd only be Chayav in Matanot if you shefted both a shore and a set. To divide it up, it says Im Shore. Im said, one or the other is sufficient. Rabbanan lechalek minalahu. How the Chachamim know that Im Shor, Im said, they think Im is used for something else. How they know that Shor and Seh do not have to be brought together in order to be chayav and matanot? They nafkalo med zobcheh zevach. In the pasuk right before it says zevach in the singular. Med zobcheh zevach means one who shechs a single animal. So zevach already tells you that one animal will make you chayav in matanot. Rabbi Eliezer, Haimed Zovchei Zevach, my Avidlei. What does he do with Zovchei Zevach? Mibaylei Lekidurava. He needs it for Rava's Limud, which we're going to see in a second on the Amud Bet. Damarava, Hadimne Tabach. The butcher. The butcher means the one who shechs it. The Kohen can go after him to get the Matanot. Tabach can't say, it's not my animal, I'm just shechting it. I don't have anything to do with this. That's not true. Because the Torah said that the Zovchei Zevach, those that are doing the Shechita are responsible to give the Matanot. And that means the Tabach is on the hook to give the Matanot. If the Kohen goes to him and says, I want the Matanot, he can't say, Lav Bal Devarim Didiat. You're not my litigant, you're not my party, because I'm just the Shechter, I'm not the owner of the animal. The Torah says, Zovchei Zevach, the one who's doing the Shechita, is responsible. Now the Chachamim are going to learn that from the fact that it says, Zovchei. You could have written, Me'eit, Zoveach, HaZevach. Instead it says Zovchei, so that teaches you also the fact that the din is in the Tabach. So Chachamim learned two things from that. Zovchei teaches you about the Tabach, Zevach teaches you the Chalek. Rabbi Eliezer thinks Zovchei and Zoveach aren't different, and therefore there's only one limud here. Zovchei and Zevach, which teaches you that the Tabach is the one that is responsible or can be held accountable for giving the Matanot Kihuna. Again, we'll discuss that more in detail in a minute on the second half of the daf. Next Mishnah. Bechor, Shnita Rev, B'meah. A Bechor that get mixed up with 100 behemoth of Chulin. Bizman, Shemeah, Shochatim, et Kulan. If 100 different people are shechting each of these behemoth, Pochrim, et Kulan. All of them are Patur. If the Kohen shows up and says, please give me my Matanot, says, this is a Bechor, I'm Patur, mi Matanot. A Bechor is not Chayav in Matanot, only Chulin is Chayav in Matanot. Kodoshim, as we saw in the beginning of the Perek, are not Chayavim in Matanot, only Chulim are Chayav in Matanot. So over here, 100 out of the 101 animals are Chulin. Nevertheless, because each one is a Safek Bechor, you can be Docheh the Kohen and say, mine is Patur. See in the Gemara why maybe that's not such a great claim. The other thing to note is that it has to be that the Bechor is not identifiable over here. The Bechor clearly is a mum in it, because a Bechor that doesn't have a mum in it is Kodesh and needs to go on the Mizbeach. It can't be eaten, it can't be shechted. The only way you can shecht a Bechor Michutz the Mikdash is if it has a mum in it. Now, if it has a mum in it, then it would be identifiable and you'd be able to distinguish it from the other animals. So what the Bali Tosafot say is the other 100 animals must have mumim as well. It's got to be that the Bechor is not separately identifiable. So it must be that all of these animals have mumim in them. Otherwise, you'd know which one was the Bechor, because it's the one with the mum in it. The truth is that it doesn't need to be 100 different people. It can even be one person who's shechting them on different days. As long as he's shechting them one at a time, on separate times or separate days, that's enough to make it that each one of them is a safek. The problem arises when echad shuchet et kulan, when one person is shechting all of them. So again, it's not necessarily that it's the same person that's doing the shechita, but it's a single owner who is shechting them together at a time period. It's not clear here what the time period is, whether it has to be simultaneous or maybe just on the same day. It never gives the time frame in which it matters, but let's assume a day is the time frame. So if he shechted all of them on the same day, then potrin lo echad. Then we say to him, listen, it's clear here that out of these 101, one of them is patur. So go ahead, you decide which one is patur. The remaining 100, you'll have to give matanot from. Because over there, he can't say that I am not chayav. Because it's clear that he is chayav, he is patur from one. If on each day or in a separate time he is shechting it, then on each one of them individually, he can say I'm patur, and therefore you can never force him to pay up. So that's the difference between them. Ashochet the kohen, ule obed kochavim, patur mina matanot. Person who shechs for a kohen, or for an obed kochavim, patur mina matanot. He doesn't have to give the matanot. So this is from, we quoted in yesterday's daf, the Mishnah, that the tabach, who's shechting, if he's shechting on behalf of a kohen or an obed kochavim, who are paturim, he doesn't then obligate it to give up the matanot. Vamishtatefim hem, tzarich sheyushom. If someone who is a partner along with the kohen, or a partner along with the obed kochavim, which makes you patur min the matanot, you have to indicate as such your shom. As Tosfot says, siman al basar. You need to put something on the meat that clearly identifies it that way. So people know that the reason that you're not giving matanot from this basar is because there is a mishutaf who is patur. If you don't do that, then people are going to think that you just don't need to give matanot. So you have to clearly identify these as being matanot-free basar because they have a shutaf that is patur. So there has to be some sort of indication, marking on the meat that indicates as such. V'imamar, if he says, chutz mina matanot, patur mina matanot. If there is, the way that Rashi says, a kohen says to Israel, ani mocher lecha parazu, chutz mina matanot sheba, I'm selling you the animal, with the exception of the matanot, then the Israel is patur mina matanot. He doesn't have to give the matanot. Even though he gets a whole animal, he doesn't have to give the matanot because the matanot were already taken out by the kohen, and he's kept the matanot that are associated with this animal. Amar, mechor le b'nei ma'eha, shopara. Again, we saw this yesterday quoted from the Mishnah, that sell me the innards, the pupik of the animal. Vayu behen matanot. And they were matanot amongst them. Notnan the kohen, v'enu menachel lo menadamim. He gives the matanot to the kohen, and the buyer can't say to the tabach, you sold me the matanot. You know that the matanot are included in the intestines or the innards of the animal. And if you purchased them, you knew you were purchasing something that included the matanot kuna. And when you paid for it, you knew you were paying for it X that item. Whether the tabach takes it out or you take it out doesn't make a difference. Either way, you're going to get the same net amount that you should have expected, irrespective of whether he took off the matana or didn't take off the matana. Lachami meno b'mishkal. On the other hand, if he buys it by weight, notan the goyin, you're still obligated to give up the matana to the goyin. Umenachelo menadamim. On the other hand, you can go back then and demand a refund because you are buying by weight. When you buy by weight, it's clear he's weighing you what you're going to keep. He's not weighing you the things that you're going to have to give away to the kohen. The tabach should have taken this out and given it to the kohen. He didn't. Okay, in the case where you're buying the innards, you knew you weren't going to get that piece. You weren't going to get the keba anyway. In this scenario where you're buying by weight, the keba is something that shouldn't have been weighed in what you're buying. If he weighed it in there, then it's deception because you're paying for something that's not going to be yours. And therefore, in that situation, you have to give it up to the kohen because it belongs to the kohen. On the other hand, you can go back and demand a refund for that amount of weight because he gave you something that should not have been included in the weight of what you paid for. Now, the Gemara goes back to the first scenario in the Mishnah and says, when you shech them one at a time, you can say to the kohen, sorry, this is a bechor, you can't get your matanot. Gemara says, why can he do that? Yavo alav a kohen mishnei tzadim. There's a mimonav shach, the kohen owns this animal. Kohen says, listen, oh, you think it's a bechor? A bechor, you have to give me the whole animal. So what's your choice? Would you like it to be a bechor and give me the whole animal? Or would you like it to be chulin and just give me the matanot? So miman of shachi gets the matanot here, because that's the better of the scenarios for the Israel. So how can the Israel say to him, oh, it's a bechor, sorry, I'm not going to give you anything. He has to give him at least the matanot, if he doesn't have to give him the whole animal. So v'lei melei, I bechor hu kule dideyu. If it's a bechor, it's all mine. Bila bechor hu, havli matantai. If it's not a bechor, then give me my matanot. That's the better scenario for the Israel. So how can the Israel push him away? So Rav Hoshaya, b'ba lidei kohen u'mecharo l'Israel b'mumo. It's a case where the kohen already owned it. The bechor was already given as a matanah to the kohen. Now we said yesterday that the bechor is nichsei kohen to do what he likes with it. So now he chose to sell it to Israel. Israel, when you have a bechor with a mum in it, you're allowed to eat it. He sold it to Israel b'mumo. And now Israel has the bechor. The bechor in that status still remains patur mina matanot, but the kohen has no right to claim against it because it was already given to another kohen. That din was already taken care of. But it still retains kedushat bechor, because even after bechor bar mum, there's certain rules about a bechor bar mum, how you have to treat it, what are the ways that you can shecht it, what are all the specifications of a bechor bar mum, including in that is that they're patur mina matanot. And when the Israel acquires the bechor, he gets all of those obligations as well as rights that come with it. And that's why you can say to the Kohen, sorry, it's a Bechor, you have no rights in this at all. Because either you're Chayav and Matanot if it's Chulin, it's Bechor, you're Patur, 50-50 shot, you have a Motzi Mechaveiro, a Lavaraya, prove to me it's Chulin and I'll give you the Matanot. Ashochet the Kohen, Lo'i Kochavim, Patur Mene Matanot. Velitnei, it would have been simpler to write in the Mishnah, Kohen, Voved Kochavim, Turim Mene Matanot. Just say straight out that they are patur min ha-matanot. That's in essence what you're saying, is that the tabach, who shechts for a kohen and ovei kochavim, doesn't have to give matanot. Why doesn't he have to give matanot? Because the owners are an ovei kochavim and a kohen. So just say that straight out in the Mishnah. Kohen and ovei kochavim are paturim min ha-matanot. Just identify the patur with the individuals who are granting the patur. Why are you including the tabach? What is the tabach relevant for over here? Samarova, zotomeret, adinin ha-tabach. This is the statement of Rava that the Tabach is on the hook for giving up the Matanot. When the Kohen goes to the Tabach, the Tabach can't say, oh, go to the owner. The Tabach has to deal with the Kohen that's in front of him. Dorosh Rava, me'eta am, velo me'eta Kohanim. You take it from the am and not from the Kohanim. That's why Kohanim are turim from the Matanot, is because zei mishpata Kohanim, me'eta am. From the am you take it, from Kohanim, you do not take Matanot. Shomer made zobchei zevach. Then when it says me'eta am, it sounds like you take it from the people. Why does it say me'et zobchei zevach? Where does that add? Rabbi Omer, afilu tabach kohen b'mashma. Over there, there's no am. Zobchei zevach means anybody who is the tabach. Any tabach, meaning including a butcher that is a kohen, you still have to give up the matanot. So the obligation is on the party who owns the animal. There's a distinction between who owns the animal. If it is the Israel that owns the animal, you're going to be chayav in matanot. If it's a kohen who owns the animal, you're going to be patur min matanot. When it comes to the tabach, we find no such distinction. It says meyot zebchei zevach without any meit ha'am, meit zebchei ha'am. Doesn't say that. It says meyot zebchei zevach. Anybody's a tabach. That means that the butcher were indifferent as what his status is. If he's a kohen, he's chayav in matanot. If he's Israel, chayav in matanot. Meaning that the tabach, who's not the owner of the animal, but shechting the animal, has no influence over whether you're chayav or patur from the matanot. And irrespective of whether he's a kohen or not, the tabach has to give matanot based on the ownership of the animal. Whoever is the owner will determine whether you are chayav or not chayav. That's what we learned from this statement of Rava. Rashi over here says, Shomer meid zobchei zevach, when the kohen is the tabach, what is the scenario? The kohen could be a tabach for Israel's animal. In that case, the reason you're chayav is because the Israel, who's the baalim, are chayavim to give up the matanot. What happens if the kohen is shechting his own animal? In that case, mitzad the baalut, on the side of the ownership, the kohen would be patur. Mitzad a tabach, we said if you're a kohen butcher, then you are chayav. Rashi claims over here, it depends on what you're doing with the animal. Klomar, mishuhu, vafilu kohen, lehavi kohen shanase tabach limkor. If he's selling the animal, there, it's Israel's animal, and he's selling on his behalf, he's shechting it on his behalf. There it's clear he's chayav. Aval ha-behema shu-shochet l'tzorcho patur. But if he shechts an animal for himself, he is patur. What's clear from Rashi is that Rashi believes, mido oraita, the kohen who's a shochet, a tabach, if he's doing it to sell it, then he's chayav to give the matanot. That's irrespective of who the owner is. That's whether the Yisrael is an owner, or whether the kohen is an owner. Even if he himself is the owner, he has to give matanot because he is selling it. He's not keeping it for his own benefit. That, according to Rashi, is the Chiddush of Rabba. Meitz Zubchei Zevach means that a tabach kohen is chayav in matanot if he's functioning as a seller. If he's functioning not as a utility for himself, but shechting to sell, he's chayav. That offsets the fact that he's the owner. The fact that he's the owner doesn't matter anymore because he's not doing it for his own benefit. He's doing it to sell it to other parties. There he's chayav in matanot. Mi de oraita, according to Rashi. So Rashi says the only time you're patur from matanot is in a case where the kohen owns it and he shechts it for himself, or Israel is shechting on his behalf for the kohen. But if it's ever shechted limkor, then you are chayav according to Rashi. That's whether it's a tabach kohen or tabach Israel. If it's be sold out, chayav in matanot, no matter who the owner is. If it's being kept by the kohen, then again, it doesn't matter if it's Yisrael or Kohen that's shechting. If the Kohen is using it for his own benefit, then he is patur. That's the way Rashi explains this shita of Rava. And therefore, Rava now has a number of chidushim here. One is that the tabach is the one responsible party. Number two is that when it comes to ownership, yes, the Kohenim are paturim, but that is then governed by the second statement, which is depending on what they're doing with it. If they're keeping it for themselves, they're patur. If they're a tabach, so for Rashi, the definition of tabach is not just the shochet, it's the one who's selling it. It's what you're doing with the animal. A tabach is not just shechting the animal, he's selling it to other parties. And a tabach is going to be chayav even if he is a kohen, and even if it's owned by a kohen. That's the way Rashi explains this. Gemara, the Chiddush of Rabbah. So Tosafot over here says, Demairi b'tabach v'lo kayya'am. When it says Zubchei Zevach, it's talking about the butcher and not the yam. Therefore, he says, Avol Maita Shelo, if it's his own behema, Afilu Limkor Rachmano Patre, if he wants to sell it, it is patur. Tosafot disagrees with Rashi and says, the Kohen's behema is always patur from matanot. Doesn't matter if he's selling it, doesn't matter if he's keeping it for himself, you are patur. The Chiddush of Rava is that a Yisrael's behema that's shechted by a Kohen is not patur mi matanot. You would have thought the Kohen who's now the tabach, who's now engaged with this animal, and he's selling the animal, he's doing the shechita, maybe the animal should now be patur mi matanot, because there's a Kohen involved. The answer is, behemat Yisrael, it's owned by Yisrael, tabach Kohen does not help you out, because the tabach Kohen is chayav when he's functioning as a tabach, never you're chayav. But if the behema is owned by a Kohen, patur, irrespective of whether the tabach is a Kohen, Kabach is Israel, or whether you're selling it. It's a Kohen's behema. Kohen is always patur from matanot, if he's the owner. Ela midrabanan gazru. Midrabanan, they were gozer. Shuta bach, litei matanot kuna. That when he is a tabach, he has to give up the matanot kuna. Afilu abehema shelo. Even if the animal is his own, shelo yargilu tabche yisrael l'shateif kohanim imahem. So that they won't become accustomed to make partnerships with Kohanim, who are Tabachim, Lipatayar Mina Matanot, in order to become Patur from Matanot. So what people would do then is, they would get the Tabach to always be a Kohen. If you have a Tabach Kohen, then all of a sudden you're Patur. You don't even need the ownership of the Kohen. You need a Tabach Kohen and you'd be Patur. So in order to stop that practice, and therefore eliminate Matanot Lagamre, they said that a Tabach Kohen who is selling out has to give Matanot. So Tabach Kohen, whether it's a Behemat Yisrael, where you're Chayav Midoraita, or a Tabach Kohen, where it's his own, and he's selling it out, there you are, Patur Midoraita, but Chayav Midorabanan. Because we don't want people getting Tabachim Kohanim as Shutafim in order to get out of the problem of Matanot. It sounds from here that if he's a real owner, as a joint partner in the animal, then you would have a Patur, and there's no Gzerat Chachamim, nor is there a din d'oraita according to Rashi. There, it's not the tabach kohen that's doing it, it's the owner that is a kohen, and the owner as a kohen makes you patur. Now Rashi will say then if you have a tabach kohen and you're selling it out, that won't help you. Because Rashi says that if you're doing it for sale, ownership of the Kohen is meaningless. According to the Baal Tosafot, that would help, and therefore it would not be problematic because you have a real owner that is a Kohen. Now, if it is a Tabach Kohen, then the Chachamim made a Gzeira, or Takana, that if it's a Kohen Tabach, even if it's owned by a Kohen, it's not going to help you out in this scenario because of the fact that we don't want people being Mishatev, Kohenim that are Tabachim. So now, your question. How come you can't just keep it for yourself, like by Truma? When you have Truma, the Kohen's Chayav in Truma, he separates out the Truma and he takes it for himself. Why can't he just do the same thing here? Take off the Matanot and give them to himself. Because, at least according to the Baal Tosafot, this is easy to answer, it would defeat the whole purpose of the Gzeira. If the Gzeira is a Knas, we don't want Tabachim Kohenim trying to cause Turim over here, then what he does is, he separates it out and keeps it for himself. What did you help with the Gzeira or the Takana? In the end, he keeps it anyway. So the Tabach Kohen actually does benefit the situation, and the whole Gzeira doesn't work. The only way the Gzeira is going to be effective is if you force the Kohen to disgorge the items and give it to another Kohen where he suffers a quote-unquote loss in the Matanot. There, people are going to be aware of the fact that a Tabach Kohen doesn't help you out. And therefore, people won't make a shitta foot with the Tabach Kohen because they're going to see you still have to give up the Matanot. If he kept them for himself, none of that would be obvious. First of all, he would suffer no loss. There's no knas over here. And number two is nobody else would understand the fact that the Kohen kept it. Looks like everything worked out the way that you wanted it to work out. So for that reason, according to the Tosafot, it's easy to understand. According to Rashi, it's much harder to understand. Rashi believes that min d'oraita, a Tabach Kohen generates a chiyuv d'oraita, which is that if the Kohen owns it and he wants to sell it and not keep it for himself, he is chayav in matanot. So then, why can't in that case he just take off the matanot and keep them for himself like he does by truma? So according to Rashi, it's much harder to understand why that you can't do that. Now, the second criticism Tosafot has of Rashi is, the Gemara in a second is going to say, for the first 2 or 3 weeks, a Tabach Kohen can't keep the matanot. He only has to disgorge the matanot after 2 or 3 weeks. The reason being is that for the first 2 or 3 weeks, we just think that he is doing this not as a regular practice. He's not setting up shop as a tabach. He's just simply shechting an animal for a friend. He's doing it. He's not doing it in a commercial sense. After he does it for 2 or 3 weeks, we get the sense that he's a commercial tabach. Then the Takanat Chachamim kicks in and says, if you're going to be the one who shechs it, you're going to be responsible for the matanot as well, because we're going to make you chayav in order to prevent this problem of people making shutafot and then forgetting about the matanot completely or not giving matanot. Tosafot says, according to my understanding, I can explain why you wait 2 or 3 weeks. It's a din d'rabbanan. The rabbanan only put their knas into effect after 2 or 3 weeks. According to Rashi, how do you have 2 or 3 week deferment? It's a din d'oraita. Tabach Kohen, by definition, makes you chayav. And according to Rashi, if you're selling it out to third parties, you're chayav midoraita. So then, how come over here you're not chayav from the first week? How can you delay it or defer it 2 or 3 weeks? Midoraita. Very difficult to understand Rashi's explanation of this Gemara based on the fact that it's a din d'oraita. Elaim Kain, you say that Rashi is saying the definition of a tabach, where you're chayav midoraita, is only if you sell it through a commercial tabach. Not when you just give it to a shochet and he happens to sell it. In that case, you won't be chayav. Still a difficult way to explain it, but that's Tosafot's criticism of Rashi, and why he believes that the din is a din d'rabbonon, and not a din d'oraita. So now, Ushbizichne de Rabbi Tavla, Kohen Abba, the bed and breakfast, the host of Rabbi Tavla was a Kohen, but v'dochle milta, and he was having a hard time making ends meet, he needed parnosa. Atta lekame de Rabbi Tavla, so he came to Rabbi Tavla for advice, for a brocha. Amrle zilishtate v'adei tabche Yisrael. Go make a partnership with the other tabachim that are Yisraelim. Demigo demiftere mimatnanta mishtate v'adoch. They'll be willing to go into partnership with you because your joining the partnership will actually then release them from having to give the matanot. So now, if they get out of the matanot, you're generating value without actually coming in here and doing anything. You're just being a partner, in a sense, creates value, and they'll be willing to give you something for that or pay you something for that. Typically, the tabach is shefting, and he has basically a consignment sale from the person who owns it. He sells it off, and then he makes a profit from the sales that he does based on the shechita, and the differential between the sale and what he owes to the person who gave it to him on consignment, or they agree to some percentage or piece of the action that he will get for doing this. But he's not really an owner in the animal. He's functioning as a consignment. So then, if I bring in another person to work with me, what incentive do I have to do that? The only reason I would do that is if I think he could add value. If I think he's going to help me sell it, if I think he's going to help me make more money, I would do that. But if I don't need the person, why would I let him join me without him paying or doing something for it? So the Rav Tavla says, you have value, you have consideration to give this other party because of the fact that you're going to make him patur me-matanot. So they're going to want you in the partnership. Even if you sell nothing, if you do nothing more than just make them patur for the matanot, they're going to be willing to bring you into the partnership, and therefore you'll get some value out of that partnership just because of your being a partner. They'll let you in without any payment, without any doing anything, because you give them more value, and they'll pay you something for that value that you're generating. That was the suggestion for him to make a living. Chayvei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman obligated them to pay. So over here, it sounds like from at least the beginning of the Gemara here, that Rav Nachman said that those Tabachei Yisrael have to give up the Matanot, and he forced them to give up the Matanot, even though they were partners with this Tabach Kohen. Amalei, Rabbi Tavla Patron. So this butcher is a Kohen, says Rabbi Tavla, says we're Patur. Why are you making them Chayav? Amalei, Zilapik. Disgorge or give up the Matanot that are in your possession. Vilo Mafkina Lacha, Rav Tavla Miunech. If not, I'm going to take Rav Tavla out of your ear. It's an expression to say, either pay, because if not, I'm going to undermine Rav Tavla completely. I'm going to decimate all of his rayot, his proofs, and that which he said. Also, Rabbi Tavla kamed Rav Nachman. Now Rabbi Tavla shows up in Rav Nachman and says, what are you doing? I gave him this advice. Why are you telling him otherwise? Amalei, my time avid marochi. Why did you force them to pay? Amalei, tichi'ata Rabbi Acher b'chanina midaroma. When Rav Acher b'chanina came out from the south, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Ziknei Darom Amru. So we have a Masora from Yoshua ben Levi bringing from the Ziknei Darom, from those in the south. Again, the main area where the Chachamim were during this time of post-Korban Abayit, especially post-Korban of the Bar Kokhba revolt, most of the people lived up in the Galil and the Golan. That's why you find so much of the archaeology that they find in terms of shuls and Bate Midrash, and the findings are up in the Golan and the Galil, because that's where everybody lived, not in the south. There were some remnants in the south known as the Ziknei Darom, those that still lived in the south. So during the time of the Tanaim and Amoraim, the south is pretty desolate, but there are the Ziknei Darom. And Rabbi Shulman Levi is bringing a Masor from Ziknei Darom, Amru, Kohen Tabach, a Kohen who's a Tabach, who's the butcher, Shtaim Shalosh Shabbatot Patur Min HaMatanot. For the first 2 or 3 weeks, you are Patur from HaMatanot. If he's doing the Shechita, if he's shechting on behalf of others, or he is a partner with others, Mikam Elech Chayav B'Matanot. After 2 or 3 weeks, you're a chayav in matanot. Amalei, v'lavdei mar miyaki Rabbi Acher bar Chanina. Okay, so even if you disagree with me that it's not a tour forever, at least give him the 2 or 3 weeks so that he will make some money for those 2 or 3 weeks. Amalei, hani mile de lo kava maskato. That's only if he didn't set up a storefront. Avalcha de kava maskato. He put out a shingle and he's clearly identifying himself as a tabach. Then right away you are a chayav. So what Rav Nachman says over here is that in the first 2 or 3 weeks we're uncertain as to whether this person is classified as a tabach or not. If he's classified as a tabach, we don't want people using him as a tabach to get out of the chiyuv of matanot or having other tabachei Yisrael join with him to get out of the matanot. That's where the takanat chachamim kicks in. But that's only true if he's functioning like a tabach. If he's just doing it on a one-off or one-basis, then he's really a kind of partner in here, and he is patur. If he does it on a regular basis, then you're going to be a chayav. So what you're saying is it doesn't matter because in the first 2 or 3 weeks, he also makes money. The answer is, it's a din d'rabbanan. Midoraita, he would be patur forever. The chachamim just instituted, once he starts to look like a professional commercial tabach, they don't want this happening. First 1 or 2 or 3 weeks when he does it, nobody knows if he's a tabach or not. Once he's established his credentials, then everybody knows he's a tabach. That's when the takanat chachamim kicks in. That's Tosafot's question on Rashi. For Rashi, when it's doraita, why should it make a difference whether it's 2 or 3 weeks? First week or the third week? Everything should be the same. So now, according to this, because he set up shop as a tabach, you don't get the waiting period of 2 to 3 weeks. The whole purpose of the waiting period of 2 or 3 weeks is to say if he's really going to be a tabach. But if you put out a shingle or you represent yourself as a tabach, then from day one, you're a tabach and you're going to have to give the matanot right away, according to the Chachamim. Now, the nature of the 2 to 3 weeks, it's not clear here whether the 2 to 3 weeks means that for some people it's 2 weeks, some people it's 3 weeks, depending on the place, depending on the person. Sometimes it takes more time, sometimes it takes less time to establish credentials. That's one way to say the 2 to 3 weeks. The other possibility is the frequency by which an individual is doing this. Maybe if he's doing it more frequently, 2 weeks is enough. If he's doing it less frequently, 3 weeks is enough. Or it's possible it's driven by the machloket as to what causes or establishes a chazakah. Whether you need 2 times or 3 times, the machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, as to whether a chazakah is nikva yedei 2 or 3 times. And therefore, it gives you both options, shtayim or shalosh shvuot, depending on which shita you subscribe to. So it's not clear here whether the 2 to 3 weeks is defining it by location or by frequency, but there is some distinction in here as to why some people it's for 2 weeks, some people it's 3 weeks, but it's a general guideline as to when a person establishes themselves as a professional tabach. Amar Rav Chisda, haikana, dolof rafish matnata, a kohen that doesn't take off the matanot, lahave bishamto, he should be in nidui, in excommunication, delokei Yisrael, from Hashem. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, habe tabkei duhutzal, the tabachim in Hutzal, kaimi bishamto, the Rav Chisda. They were under this excommunication of Chisda for ha esrim v'tartin shnin, for 22 years, meaning that they were not complying with giving up the matanot. The tabach, as we saw from Roba, is the obligated party to give up the matanot, and they weren't complying with this about giving up the matanot, and therefore they were subject to this nidui of Rav Chisda for 22 years. L'mai yochata. What's the difference? If it's 22 years, what's more, less, why does it matter? He says, ilema detulo mishamtinilu. If you say that after 22 years, we say we give up and we just don't put them in nidui anymore, it's not working, so we don't do it. Batanyo. We have a breita, b'med varim amurim. When is that true? B'mitzvot lotase. That's when he's violating a lotase where there are other repercussions to the lotase. Aval b'mitzvot asay, when it's a mitzvot asay, you go and omrim lo aseh sukkah v'en oseh, build a sukkah and he refuses. Lulav, take a lulav v'en oseh. Aseh tzitzit v'en oseh, put tzitzit on your baguette. Wear tzitzit and he doesn't do it. Makin oto achet tzitzit nafsho. Give him a coat until he dies, at the Achumer Rotsani. So he says, I'm going to do it. So there's no limit on how much you do. So why should there be any limit here on the Shamta? Well, here it's a mitzvah to save Nitina of the Matanot. Why isn't there an obligation to continue to put them in Shamta? Ella, the Kansinu Lohu, below Atraita. Now, 22 years is the threshold beyond which we will start to penalize them without any warning. You don't have to give them warning. 22 years is sufficient warning for them. After 22 years where they haven't complied with this shamto, then we're going to start penalizing them without any warning. Tiha de Rava, kanis atmo. Rava used to take away, Rashi uses interesting language over here, he used to be gozel. He used to steal the legs from the animals of the butchers because they were not giving the matanot. So he basically confiscated their property until they gave up the matanot. Either you give the matanot, or I'm going to keep this confiscated in order to compensate for the fact that you're not giving the matanot. Nagma Yitzchak Kanis Glima used to take their cloaks, used to take their property in lieu of the matanot that they weren't giving until they gave it. So they were confiscating property to ensure that they gave the matanot, or they gave it in lieu of the matanot, and the butcher's better off giving it than losing out when they come and confiscate the property. Again, it's interesting that Rashi uses the verb gozel over here. It's not really gzela, it's confiscation. It is to ensure that they do it right. Rashi maybe uses it from the meaning of the Gemara in Baba Kama, which is a gozel, is vayigzola techanit, to take something from someone in open daylight and to just rip it away from them. So over here too, the right word is confiscation, but it's gozel from the perspective of you're not trying to sneak it away from them. You're coming in broad daylight and taking it away from them because you're not complying with the need to give up the matanot. There are actually two interesting things that derive from Rava's actions over here. One of which is the fact that the matanot apply in Chutz Laaretz, like it says in the beginning of our parak in the Mishnah. as well as the fact that you can be kones. Generally, do not impose knasot outside of Eretz Yisrael. And here you see Rava imposing a knas even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Rava's actions are indicative of these two items. One is that in certain circumstances we do allow knasot. And then number two is in the taking up of matanot, we're practiced even in chutz laaretz. So over here, what's clear is that the tabachim are on the hook for the matanot. So much so that Rava and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak were willing to confiscate property in order to ensure that they're giving up the matanot. Now, these tabachim didn't necessarily own the animals. The owners of the animals were parties that were giving to the tabachim to shecht and sell on their behalf. You see from here that the tabachim are really on the hook. Now, you asked the question, which is, isn't the tovat hana belong to the ba'alim? Don't the ba'alim have a right to choose to which kohen they give the matanot? How can you say that the tabachim are on the hook? So, there are those that suggest that the tabachim are the ones that they give the matanot, but they have to do it at the discretion of the Baalim. They have to check with the Baalim whether they want to give it to this Kohen or that Kohen. So they have to consult, take counsel with the Baalim. Then after that, give it up to the Kohen. So that's number one. Number two is, it may only be true with what's called Makirei Kehuna. So that the Tabachim are responsible to give it when they know that there's certain Kohanim that always get these Matanot or that are always given these Matanot. If that Kohen shows up, he can't deny him the right to take that matanah and say, I'm going to give it to someone else, because the Kohen who shows up can say, you have to give it to me. If it's just a random Kohen that shows up, then the Tabach may be able to defer him and say, I don't have to give it to you, I can give it to someone else. Or the Baalim have a right to choose who they give it to. You don't have a right to come and make a claim. Those are two ways to deal with the issue. One is to say that they have to consult with the owner. Or the other way to say it is, it's in a case or a situation where there is a frequent or usual Kohen that is being used by these owners. And therefore, when that Kohen shows up, he can say, please give it to me. And he can't say, no, I'm going to give it to a different Kohen. He has to give it to this Kohen because the din is in the Tabach, and the Tabach can't deny him that right to take the Matanot. But in Ochanami, if it was someone that was just randomly showed up, or any Kohen, or he doesn't have a regular Kohen he gives it to, then the Tabach may not be on the hook for it because he doesn't know. He could say, maybe I'll give it to a different Kohen, or maybe he wants to give it to a different Kohen. And he may not be on the hook. So those are two ways to deal with it. In addition, the Ritva and the Rashba both say that the Tabach is only on the hook for it as long as it's in his possession. Part of the reason the Tabach is the one who has to give out the Matanot is because the Matanot are generated in his possession. He chefs it. He flays the animal. He quarters the animal. He's the one dealing with those pieces, and therefore we make him the obligated party with regards to the Matanot. But if he already finished and gave it back to the Baalim, or he sold it to someone else, you can't go back and now say that the Tabach is responsible. Oh, you didn't do it when you were supposed to? Now we're going to make you chayav. That's not the case. It's only when it's in his possession do we obligate him to do it. If he already gave it back to the owner, if he sold it off already, at that point we don't go after the Tabach. We either go after the owner or the new owner of the animal, and we get the matanot from them. So it's not something where the Tabach is on the hook beyond the time period when it's in his possession. All right. Rama Rav Chista, Zro Le'achad, when it comes to these Matanot, the Zroa can go to one Kohen. Kebal Echad, you can give the Kebal to another Kohen. L'chayayim, l'shnayim. And the L'chayayim are sufficient that you can give it to two individuals. Now, even though Lechi is, in the modern Hebrew, a sheik, L'chayim in the Torah speak is the jawbone. That's what Shimshon uses to kill the Plishtim. He uses a Lechi. A Lechi there means a jaw. So you're talking about the L'chayayim, you're speaking about the jaws, the two jaws, including the tongue and the meat that's around there. There, they're sufficient to break it in half and give one to each coin. There's enough to give to two. So now, what it's saying is that you could give the matanot up to four coinim. Seems to be that what the Gemara is indicating here is this is a maximum number of coinim. You could give it to one coin, give it to two coinim. Maximum, you can divide the matanot up into four pieces, and each one of those is sufficiently kashuv or significant to give it to a Kohen. Ini, is that true? Garma garma. Over there they break it down. True meaning of garma garma means bone by bone. Rashi brings that they used to split it in half. That they'd split the Zro in half and the Keba in half. And then maybe the Lechayayim, I don't know if they split it in half or they gave it to four. But it seems to be that they were giving out to many more Kohanim. My answer is that's not a problem. Hatam bit the Torah. Over there they're dealing with an ox. It's a much bigger animal. You're dealing with the Behemah Gassal. Over there, there's sufficient in the Zroah to cut it up into two and still give it to Kohanim and have it be a netina chashuva, a significant netina. By a behema daka, the zroa is only enough for one person as a netina. You cut it in half, it's not enough for either party. But it seems to me that there's much more meat within a shor to make it more significant, and therefore you can give it to more Kohanim. Amar Rabba Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan. Asur le'achol mi'beima shlohor mu'mat notah. Not allowed to eat from an animal that does not have the matanot going taken off of it. And Amar Rabba Barachanam Amar Rabbi Yochanan kol ochel mi'beima shlohor mu'mat notah. Anybody eats from an animal that didn't have the matanot taken off of it, kilo ochel tavalim. The zippy ate tevel. We're going to see that upcoming in the Gemara, that there's gzer shava to truma, and therefore it has a din like tevel. A late hilchato kavate. The alocha is not like him, which means that if the matanot are not taken off, the animal's not asur to eat. It's not a problem of tevel. Now, the Gilyan Ashas says, why don't you go look at all these Tosfotim that I'm pointing out to you? Including one of them is the one from yesterday's daf. And he says, if you took a look at the Tosfot in yesterday's daf, when it speaks about Nixtei HaKohen, it lists the items. Our Gemirsa was 9, the Tosfot had a Gemirsa of 7, Rashi had 15. Items that are out of the total of 24, but those are Nixtei HaKohen. Tosfot, in trying to explain why they are Nixtei HaKohen, says it picks all those things that are Asur Zarim, and they're Mamon Kohen. So then he says, if that's the case, why are the Matanot included in there? Why are they Zorah L'chaim and Keva included in that list? They're not Asur L'zarim. So Tosfot gives two answers to that question. The first of which is Shum de Table v'damo de Truma, because they are Tevel and they're like Truma. Ve'af agav the late Hilchata Hachi Hainu de lo avi kochel tvalin. Even though we said over here the Loch is not like this, that means that it's not like you're eating Tevel. Aval mikol makom isura ika. But there still is an Isur. L'chol mi b'inimash lo mar ma'atah. That didn't have its matanot taken off. Inami, lo choshev el advarachile, gives the second answer. According to that first answer, the reason that the matanot were included is, even though we just paskan, the loch is not like Rabbi Barchanan, Rabbi Yochanan, that it's tevel, he still says it's asur. Even if it's not tevel, it's asur to eat from an animal that doesn't have the matanot taken off of it. So according to Tosafot, there's still a residual isur. If it's not tevel, it's not so significant, it's not like tevel, but there still is an isur. If you don't have the matanot taken off the behema, you are in violation of eating something without the matanot taken off of it. Those are the two answers in Tosafot. According to this, one of those two answers, Tosafot says that it's not just according to the one who says that there is tevel, it's even according to the ones who say that it's not tevel, there's still an isur associated with it. And obviously as nafkamino to alocha today, where if you don't take off these items, then you are be'isur, at least according to that view of the Balei Tosafot. Which presents a problem because I will send out the Mekorot, probably not today, but about these items, Bizman HaZeh, it seems that they've done many surveys of the butchers, shophouses, and areas that are dealing in meats, and it seems to be a very high percentage of them do not take off the matanot, do not have a shutafut with the Kohen, and have a problem because of this issue. And the Chachamim said, we don't want people making shutafut with the Kohanim, Tabachim, because if they do that, they're going to stop giving matanot, and they're just going to do it to get out of the matanot, and the whole institution of matanot will fall by the wayside. Meantime, that's exactly what happened. Until now, people had shutafut with the Kohanim. Might have been a different type of shutafut that wasn't governed by this Takanat Chachamim, because over there it was by the Tabachim. Maybe there were real shutafut with the Kohanim, but the same thing happened. Or if people had shutafut with the Kohanim, nobody ever gave matanot. Then the whole institution got forgotten why we don't give matanot. And now they just have people without shutafut and they're not giving the matanot. So it's a serious issue, a significant issue, and it really needs to be addressed more broadly. They can only be eaten roasted and they can only be eaten with mustard. My taimat, what's the reason? Amar kra. Because when it says about the matanot kohanim in Parshat Korach, it says lemashcha, and over there we say that the translation in Aramaic of mashcha is l'revuta, means that when you're anointed something, it means that you're elevated. It's a significant position, and you have to eat it. L'gdula, k'derech shemalachim ochlim, the way that kings eat it. The way that kings eat it is roasted and with mustard. It's the finest of the fine. And the matanot that go to the Kohen have to be treated in that manner, and they have to be eaten roasted and with mustard on them. So now we know Gemara in Zvachim said that the Kohanim can choose to eat it any way, which way they like. They like it like this, they eat it like that way. If they like it like this, they eat it like that. Because the Mashka, they get to choose how they want to eat it. Just like Malachim can eat it any way they want, so too the Kohanim can eat it any way they want. Tosfot says over here, seems to be is that this is the default. If they have no preference, then they should do it roasted and with mustard, because that's really a significant delicacy. That's something that the kings eat. But that's something that really indicates Gedulah. If he has a preference, whatever way you like it the most, enjoy it the most, that's the way you eat it. Then he has the option to go with that preference. That's what it seems to be in order to reconcile these Gemarot, so that's not an issue. Bamar of Chista, Esrim Barba Matanot Kuna, there are 24 Matanot Kuna. Kol Kohen Shenev Bakiben, any Kohen who doesn't know the 24 and doesn't know what to do with the 24 Matanot, Einot Limlo Matana. You cannot give him the Matanot Kuna. So in order to be classified as a Kohen that's entitled to Matanot Kuna, you have to have a certain knowledge of them. Velav Miltahi. And we do not think that that's the case. Titania, because we have a Brita, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Kol Kohen Sheinu Modeh B'Avodah, Ein Lo Chelek B'Kehunah. Any Kohen that doesn't think the Avodah is real, meaning that it was given to Moshe Mitzrayim, and it wasn't something that Moshe made up. It wasn't something that was just for fun or to deal with some issues. It was a serious tzivoy me'et Hashem. So any Kohen who doesn't agree with that, he doesn't get any Chelek in the Kunash, Ne'amar. Because the Pasuk says, Amakriv et dam ha'shlamim et ha'chelek mipnei Aron lo tiyeh shokemin l'manah. Meaning that the one who's doing the hakrava, the one who's engaged in doing the hakrava, he believes in the avodah as being an imperative, he's the one that's entitled to the shokeyamim, the manah. So the manah of the Kohen comes from that. In the elazebil vad, so there it's very specific. I mean, neither avod, chamesh yisrei avodot. What about to include all the other avodot? I mean, there it says ha-makriv. So the one who is makriv et dam ha-shlamim, which Rashi claims is holacha, which is the taking of the dam to the mizbeach. So there he has to believe that that is a halacha l'Moshe mi'akodesh baruch hu. And if he doesn't, he's not entitled. How do I know that beyond just the makriv, beyond that single avoda, that other avodot, if he doesn't believe in them, doesn't think that they came mi'sinai, that he's also disqualified? Kigon. Hayitzikot, the pouring of the oil on the mincha. Hablilot, the mixing of the oil into the mincha. Hapetitot, for those minachot that are baked, that you have to fold them over and return them to a crumbled state afterwards to take off the komets. Hamelichot, the salting. Tnufot, the wave offering of the mincha that requires a wave offering. Hagashot, for the mincha that requires hagashah to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach in a kli. Bakmitzot, taking off the komets. Haktarot, and then placing on the mizbeach. Vamelichot, and doing melika on a bird. Vekabalot, and the kabbalat adam. Hazot, and then the sprinkling of the dam. Vashka'at sota, giving the sota to drink the mayim ha'marim, varifat egla arufa, and the breaking the neck of egla arufa, which is performed by the Kohanim, as part of that ceremony of egla arufa, the tarat ha'mitzora, this week's parsha, the tarat ha'mitzora, which is dependent on a Kohen, unesiut kapayim, and duchanim, ben b'mifnim, ben b'bachutz, whether it's in the Mikdash, or out of the Mikdash, in the Gvulin. How do I know if a Kohen denies any one of those avodot, that he also then is not entitled to Matanot Kuna? Tomalomar, Mibnei Aron, Avodah Hamura Libnei Aron. And it says over there, Makriv et dam ha-shlamim et ha-chelek, Mibnei Aron. So what is the Mibnei Aron telling you? Avodah Hamura Libnei Aron. Anything that is assigned to Bnei Aron, that is something if you deny it, or you don't believe in it, you're not entitled to the mana. Kol Kohen, Sheinu Modeba, Ein Lo Chelek B'Kuna. And any Kohen that does not agree with this doesn't have a portion in the Kuna. Taima de no modeba. That's because he just doesn't agree or doesn't believe in it. Ha modeba. But if he does agree with it, apagav dobenu baki ban. Even if he's not an expert in them. So that denies that statement from Rav Chista that if he's not knowledgeable, if he's not an expert, that he's not entitled. Here you see from the Tosefta that Rabbi Shimon says the qualification is not knowledge, it's belief. It's the understanding that the Kohen is instructed by God to act and function as a Kohen. And all those avodot that are incumbent upon the Kohen are things that Hashem gave us. So even though he's not knowledgeable, if he believes in that and he does not deny that, then he's entitled to the Matanot Kuna, just like someone who is a baki in all of these halakhot. Okay, we'll stop here, 7 lines down on the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph.